The following program is a paid advertisement. The views reflected on this show are not necessarily the views of ESPN 1000.
You mean to tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it? Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was going to bring it back,
but it was signed by Babe Ruth!
Yeah, you keep telling me that.
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Clouds.
King of Crap.
The Colossus of Clouds. The Colossus of Clouds. Babe Ruth!
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer, Eric Ostrowski. We're on. This is our last Sunday morning radio show until March, so get your questions in. If you have any questions about the value of your collectibles, the number here is 312-332-3776. We're on till 8. You can tweet a picture of an item to my attention. T-Crown Tom is my Twitter ID, or give us a call and you'll get in the drawing. We're giving away this week a box of 2016 Topps High Tech Baseball, which has one autographed card per box, and a 2016 Topps Cubs World Series Champions 25 card box set. So the number is 312-332-3776. Plus, we'll be talking about some items that are in already up at HugginsandScott.com auction items for their February auction. The bidding begins January 30th and ends February 9th. Now, we won't be on the air during that time, but I'll be tweeting pictures of some of the items and links to the auction for some of the cooler items that they have in Huggins and Scott. This is unbelievable here, Bill, that you have black and white Hall of Fame postcards. You've got a bunch of different ones, quite a few of them. But this one right here, Grover Cleveland Alexander with a $10,000 minimum bid. There must not be many of those around.
No, there aren't. I think there may be one or two of those that have been known and have been encapsulated and, this is from an old veteran collector that had these things, and there'll be more of them to come in May and August as well. So.
Wow. Some other ones that you have in February, there's a $10,000 minimum bid on Grover Cleveland Alexander. Eddie Collins, a $7,500 minimum bid. Gabby Hartnett of the Cubs, $250 minimum bid. Lajoie, $1,000 minimum bid. Dizzy Dean, $1,000 minimum bid. Cy Young, $1,000 minimum bid. Ty Cobb twice signed a minimum bid of $1,000. Great group of autographs. You know, even if you're not going to bid on them, you ought to go to HugginsandScott.com and just check them out. Look at them. I mean, it's kind of history there with those. I've never seen a few of those, a signed version of those. I don't even really see those black and white Hall of Fame postcards at all, Bill. Do you get them in very often? Any of them signed?
No, not very, very rarely we do. It was sort of a 30s thing that they did when they first came out with the Hall of Fame and kind of reminisce, you know, they replicate the plaques that are up in the Hall of Fame of each of the players that were inducted. And they started out with black and white ones, and the ones that are signed by, like, Alexander and Collins, those guys died shortly after these cards were made. And so there's just a very small window on some of these players for them to have even signed it. And then later on, they went to those brown and yellow cards that they do today that represent the plaque cards.
Now, it's not only vintage items like that are in Huggins and Scott. It seems like you guys are getting more and more of items from the last 20 or 30 years in there. For instance, there's a lot of 264 of the 1996 Leaf Signature Series autograph cards. That's a cool collection. It's got some guys like Mariano Rivera, who's a relatively tough signature. A-Rod's in there. Frank Thomas, Manny Ramirez, Pedro Martinez, Wade Boggs, Omar Vizquel. It's funny, Vince, I'm sure you've noticed this. On eBay, there's guys on Omar Vizquel and Andres Galarraga, low-numbered, hard-to-get autographs. How high some of that stuff goes.
Oh, yeah, and I've enjoyed the fruit of that, too, because, I mean, just they have a strong collection base. You wouldn't think they would, but Vizquel and Galarraga, they got some loyal fans.
They really do. You know, Vizquel was really a great fielder. He and Roberto Alomar, to me, that was one of the best double play combinations I've ever seen. And really, when you look at Baez and Addison Russell for the Cubs, I mean, they've got, I don't know if they get to that level of defense, but that duo looks like they could be a great defensive combo for years to come at short and second for the Cubs.
Absolutely, and if they could keep the four together with Bryant and Rizzo finishing that out, that's going to be an infield arrival, maybe the Dodgers of the mid to late 70s.
Yeah, right. You're right. Right now the Cubs four looks like they are even better. I mean, and that was. Yep. But you're right. That was one of the ones that stuck together. Well, it really looks like that the Cubs are going to try to keep them together, too. So for Cub collectors, those are some guys you want to collect, without a doubt. We had
to pinch myself to see that the Cubs are actually World Series champs. It's just so hard to believe. You know?
Yeah, and we're giving away a 2016 Topps Cubs World Series Champions 25-card box set. It's all out there. It's true. It really happened. So I'm really excited. Okay, on the line here we have Alex from the Ukraine Village. What's up there, Alex?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Good.
Good. Well, I'm always calling about Cubs stuff, so I figured I should call based on the theme today. And it seems like the black and white Hall of Fame picture seems to be the way to go.
Yeah.
So I've got a signed and framed black and white picture and card that describes the player, but it's Theodore Radcliffe, who was also known as Double Duty in the first half of the century.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So he had 400 home runs, 4,000 hits, and also was Satchel Paige's catcher for a couple years.
So, we actually got a call from a couple weeks ago on the show from Double Duty. I think it was Double Duty Radcliffe's nephew who called and had some stories. So, yeah, that's kind of interesting. Now, Bill, let's say you had Double Duty. He's not as tough as some of the autographs that you have, but maybe on a black and white, have you seen any of those sell, or where you would start that one in an auction if you had it?
Gosh, no, I don't remember seeing that. I mean, he did live, into the 2000s, I think, or 1990s. I know he used to do some of the shows with a lot of the ball players that would travel around and do those shows from the Negro Leagues, but gosh, no, to have one of those signed is
I think based off forever. He was 104.
Really?
He lived to 104? Really? Wow.
Do you know what year he died?
2005.
He died in 2005, yeah.
2005. Wow, 104. That's something. Some of those guys had the best stories. I saw a few of them at a couple of the shows and talked to some of them, and great stories. They must have just had a blast when they were playing those games. Well, that's a neat item.
When was he elected to the Hall of Fame?
I'd have to double check. I'm not sure if he's in. I don't think he's in the Major League Hall of Fame. I think he's just in the Negro League Hall of Fame. I'd have to look that up.
All right. I'm just wondering,
it doesn't look like he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, how would he have a Hall of Fame postcard then? That's
No. Not a Hall of Fame postcard, excuse me. It's just a black and white signed picture.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's a little different. A photo wouldn't be as valuable, correct, Bill? Like, Double Duty was in the Hall of Fame and had the black and white postcard signed, those are more valuable.
Yeah, well, I don't think he would have had a black and white postcard because they were only made in the 30s. And
yeah, right. And he wasn't.
He would have been elected way after that.
Right. Yeah. So, but if let's say for a player who did have a black and white signed postcard, and then he has a signed photo from a more recent era, the postcard would be much more valuable.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. However, the Double Duty Radcliffe photos are, you know, he certainly was, like our caller was saying, Alex was saying, I mean, his stats are just phenomenal. I mean, they compare with anybody that ever played the game.
It's too bad they weren't able to play in the major leagues to see how they would have, you know, some of them would have been all-stars and Hall of Famers, just, you know, it's without a doubt some great talent. That would have been, I don't think there's a lot of video out there of the Negro Leagues games, but they played quite a bit at Comiskey Park in Chicago, if I'm correct. I'm pretty sure that was the case. I think I've seen video in the past from that. Well, now some other items that are in the Huggins and Scott February auction. Bidding begins January 30th and goes to February 9th. Here's an interesting lot of 31 Cubs game scorecards from 1927 through 76. What's kind of interesting and cool when in an old scorecard collection, when they've been scored, and some of these were scored and some weren't, like what happened on some of the days. Like one of them from 1948, Jackie Robinson had 5 hits and a doubleheader. 1961, Ernie Banks hit his 9th grand slam. I guess the 1976 game that Mike Schmidt hit 4 homers is in there. So pretty neat lot of scorecards. A lot of guys have scorecard collections, and some of them, I guess, don't think they're valuable. But this collection has a $300 minimum bid on it. So we'll keep an eye on that and see what it goes for. Should be interesting. Bill, have you ever had a real high-value scorecard collection that sticks out in your mind that you've run?
Well, I mean, if they were really high-value, they would probably be more individually
run rather
than in a group, so to speak. But, and we have had some very tough individual scorecards, but... like you said, this is probably one of the neatest little groups we've had with all the special days. I mean, the collecting of what we call moments in time, like Schmidt's 4 home runs, Robinson's 5 hits and stuff like that, those have become very popular to collect the programs and the tickets from those moments in time, and they've skyrocketed in value over the last 5 years or so.
That does make a good little collectible, actually. I tweeted pictures this week. Last week, Tony called in, and he had the Chicago Bears helmet phone, and I was trying to picture what that would actually look like. And I tweeted picture. He sent me pictures. It actually, the phone hung up on the top of the helmet, and it's a Bears helmet that Richard Dent had signed. So it was kind of interesting. I don't think it looks like some of them sell, you know, $100 to $200 when they're signed by guys like Dent, so it's not a huge value, but it's definitely, talk about something that would be a conversation piece at your bar.
You look at it and you automatically think of Get Smart, you know.
Yeah.
It's just forever linked now.
You know, what would that thing sell for? The actual prop that Get Smart used as his shoe phone.
Well, if anybody has that on there, don't be walking around and using it. Send it to HugginsandScott.com. That would be interesting. That was such a popular show, you know. There we go. Eric found the Get Smart tune. Yeah. And then he'd go down that elevator like at the start of the show. That was really a funny show. I'd like to see that again. Yep. There was a movie remake of it, but I'd like to see the original with it. That was a good show. Oh, boy. Okay. What else did somebody send me? This is a good story, Vince. Friday morning, I usually go to the bakery around the corner from Tea Crown on Friday morning before I open, because they have some great stuff there. They have these, well, it used to be Long John Friday for me, but now they've got these Boston cream filled things that are just fantastic. So it's about 8:30. I'm walking around the corner, heading to the bakery, and a car's backing up, and all of a sudden I hear somebody go, "Hey, Tom, how's it going?" And I'm looking, and it was Brett, a regular customer at Tea Crown. And I go, Brett, what are you doing here? I'm thinking he can't be a T-Crown. I thought maybe he dropped one of his kids off at the child place there around the corner. He goes, no, you got me hooked on those donuts. at Deanna's Bakery around the corner. It really is good. I've been going, I pretty much go there every Friday now and pick stuff up. But Brett,
I've
there's
had
Brett.
Several myself and my favorites, the Long John's, and, you know, which is, you know, story of today anyway with this cold. Long John is a perfect fitting.
Yeah, it is. I think they used to be closed on Sundays, but I think they're open 8 to noon now on Sundays. If you're in Naperville, Dieta's Bakery. Now I'm hungry. What did I do to myself? A coffee and a donut right now would hit the spot. So it's time for a short break. Now the number is 312-332-3776. We're on till 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. We're giving away a 2016 Topps high-tech baseball box and a 2016 Topps Cubs World Series Champions 25-card box set. If you call in with a question, get in the drawing. Now, this is our last show until the first week in March, so get your call in and your question in today. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ercdelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. That was Matt Dusk. He started following on Twitter, so I thought I'd look him up. 678,000 followers this guy has. He sounds a little like Sinatra to me, I thought. And he's from,
I thought so too. I think so too.
Yeah,
very good.
He's from, it looks like he's out of Toronto, Canada. So Matt Dusk. At Matt Dusk is his Twitter ID if you're into that type of thing. And he had a Christmas song, so come on, we had to put something on. Eric found it, put it up there, gotta like it. So that's something I'll keep doing when we come back in March when, if musicians follow me on Twitter, I'll find a cut if I like it. There was another one that followed me this week that I'm like, I can't even play that. I can't play anything from this guy. So I've got to at least kind of, you know, think, okay, that's good. That's well done in order to put it on. But, that guy, he got some Sinatra in him. So Matt Dusk. All right. Now, don't forget the Huggins and Scott February auction. Bidding begins January 30th, goes through February 9th. We won't be on the air at that time, but of course you can sign up with them and bid, and I'll be tweeting pictures and of some of the cooler items and links to the auction when it's going and leading up to the auction. I just sent in for a listener a lot of 159, they're low-grade 1952 Topps baseball cards, but it included Pathko, Ted Kluszewski, Gil Hodges, Enos Slaughter, Bob Feller, and a Willie Mays. So if you aren't so interested in condition and you want to get that set started up, I mean, this would be a great way to start. There's a $400 minimum bid on this lot. It's such a cool set. I mean, and it just seems to be getting more and more popular as the years go on, the 1952 Topps baseball card set. That Mickey Mantle just in any grade is valuable, but like sevens are selling for over $200,000. It's quite the set.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's really something. Tim from Fox River Grove is on the line. What do you have there, Tim? Welcome to the show.
I got a signed baseball signed by Brett Favre and Cal Ripken labeled the Iron Man. Just curious on what it's worth.
No, that's pretty cool. Does Brett Favre have the NFL record for most consecutive games played?
Peyton just broke that record right before he retired. Peyton Manning.
Oh, did he? Okay. Yeah. Well, that's still an interesting ball with the two of them. When I saw that come up that the two of them were signed, I'm thinking, oh, what's the connection there? But Bill Huggins, now what do you think of that with Brett Favre and Cal Ripken on the same ball?
Well, I am sure that,
there are dozens, if not more than that, of people out there who would love to tell you what that's worth, Tim. And, you know, if we put it in an auction, I don't know if it's something you're looking to sell, but there can't be many of those out there.
I've never seen one, but that's a pretty cool combo when you think of it as, is Iron Men or Iron Man on the ball too, written on there by either of them?
No, it's in a glass case with the Iron Man on it, and it's certified also.
Oh, now did that come from like Steiner Sports or somebody like that, or who put that out?
It was a sports memorabilia store. Honestly, I got it so long ago, okay. I forgot where I got it from.
Or any idea how many of them they did?
It might even be labeled. Honestly, that's why, yeah, I picked it up, because it was unusual.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It'd be interesting to see how many they did, but it sounds like Bill Huggins would like to give it a shot in an auction if you ever decide you want to sell it. That would be interesting,
yeah, you
to
know,
see
you,
what it did.
You know, I don't know if you could find out who maybe the basketball and hockey players are who have a streak like that, and if they're still alive, to get them to sign it, to have the four major sports kind of Iron Men on the same baseball would be, you know, I can't imagine what something like that would go for.
I know at one time Johnny Red Kerr, you know, who was the first Bulls coach and longtime Bulls announcer, passed away a few years ago, had that record, but I think somebody passed him for that record also, so that'd be interesting. But yeah, that'd be a great ball, Tim. That'd be kind of fun if they're both living who currently have that streak. That'd be cool to add to that ball. That would be a neat ball to see what it would do.
Yes, I will look into that. I appreciate you guys' time.
All right, very good. Thanks for the call. Next on the line, we have Bernie from the Ville, Naperville. What's up, Bernie? What do you have there?
Morning, gentlemen. You were talking about filled out scorecards, and I have two completely filled out scorecards, one from Kenny Holtzman's no-hitter.
Ooh.
And one from the infamous Pirates game when they beat him, I think it was 22 or 23 to nothing, and Stennett went 7-for-7.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool combo. I'm going to cut you off. There's a reverb here, but now, I would think the Kenny Holtzman no-hitter, what do you think, Bill, maybe 50 to 100 on that one because it's the Holtzman no-hitter? Would that be more, maybe at least 50? I would think in a store,
yeah,
in Chicago, maybe at least 50.
It'd be neat to know if he had maybe the ticket or ticket stub that went with it.
That would, yeah.
Find them tucked inside the program there.
Now, let's say he did have the ticket and the scorecard, and it's a scored scorecard from that. You think that's valuable enough to try in Huggins, or
sure,
you would give it a,
yeah,
shot, huh? Okay. And the one,
absolutely,
the one with Rennie Stennett with the seven hits, what do you think about that one? I mean, that's, I don't think anybody's ever,
I mean, same thing. If you had the ticket that went with it, the scorecard is, I think, much more saved than the tickets would be. And but if you had the pair of them together, like I say, those moment-in-time type things are just wowing us with what type of money they're bringing.
Yeah, that's cool. And if nothing else, if you wanted to, you know, just the Holtzman or whatever, that by itself, if you don't have the ticket, that'd be something in T-Crown we could maybe ask 75 to 100 to start off with and see what happened and take offers on it or something. You never, because, you know, it's not there, like there's a lot of those around. Get some interesting stuff at T-Crown. You never know what's going to walk in the door. Vince has been there a couple of times where there's been something big. You were there when the gentleman with the 1928 star player candy was there, right, Vince?
Oh, yes.
Wasn't that,
yes,
something?
Oh, I was in awe just looking at it. I didn't even want to touch any of the framing. Just looking at it was just jaw-dropping. Amazing.
That might
absolutely
be the coolest, hardest to find item that's ever been brought into T-Crown, actually. When you look up the population reports on some of those cards that were in there in the grading for SGC and PSA, I mean, some of them have never been graded, and others of them, I don't think there was more than five or six of any one. I mean, that was
yep,
really something. Be interesting to see if he
absolutely
ever decides to auction that. That would be what that would go for. I mean, who knows? The sky's the limit. Could you? It would be hard to even give an estimate on that, wouldn't it, Bill?
Oh, yeah. No, you'd have to kind of see what they would take them maybe out of this frame thing, and if they could get graded and what they would grade, possibly that would determine a whole lot more into how many thousands and thousands of dollars we're talking about.
Yeah, really be something. It's a, but the history behind that one and in the frames, it was just, it was a very cool item without a doubt. Some other items that will be in the Huggins and Scott February auction. Here's one, a 1986-87 Fleer basketball unopened 36-pack wax box with a $20,000 minimum bid. This is BBCE wrapped baseball card exchange. I guess they're pretty much now the experts on unopened material, where if they wrap it, Bill, it's a, you're assured that it was a untouched, unopened item, correct?
Yeah, no, I mean, Steve Hart, who does the, does that for PSA or for Baseball Card Exchange, he's as good as it gets as far as determining whether or not these older vintage packs have been tampered with or whether they're actually legitimately unopened, so...
And then
it does bring a premium when you get them wrapped. By
yeah, it really does. And then there's a 1980-81 Topps basketball 36-pack wax box. That's got the Bird Magic rookie. Vince, the third player on that card, Bird Magic and?
You know, I can I get a lifeline, please?
yeah, Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer. Dr. J.
There you go.
I did a split yesterday at T Crown with Hammer on, let's see, it's called Leaf Greatest Hits Basketball. And I got, I originally had one and had sold it when I didn't think I was going to keep doing this, but I picked up a Dr. J autograph for my top 50 collection and a Stockton autograph for my top 50 collection. So I'm getting there. I'm only missing a few. I think the ones I'm missing, none of them are that valuable either. So I've got that pretty well wrapped up now. That's been fun putting that together. Autograph of everybody that was named to the NBA top 50 team. What was that? 15 years ago, maybe something like that. It was probably maybe 1998, I guess, maybe they did that. At the
still time, got that Maravich?
Yes, for sure I do. That framed piece that Vince put together and a bunch of guys pitched in, that's up on my wall at my house, actually. That's what made me start to go back. I had switched where I thought, I'm never going to get the top 50. I'm going to just do, like, the Dream Team. The original Dream Team autographs. But after I got that Maravich, then I started going back after the top 50 again. Cause he's, such a tough signature. He died.
There are so many people who just so appreciate having a place to go like Triple Crown in Naperville. And just, we just have such a great, great time. And, everybody wanted to tell you, we appreciate you and your store and just having it open to go and talk sports and trade cards and have a good time.
It was a fun day yesterday. Well, I really appreciated that present too. I mean, that came out of the blue. That was a complete surprise. That was awesome. But that's up on the wall at our house. And my wife lets me hang different autographed photos throughout the house, basically. So she's nice enough to do that. It's not your typical house, I guess, as far as how things look. Bill, did you ever get your kitchen done where you were going to get those old lunch boxes in, or did your wife give the okay on that one, or are you still working on that one?
Oh, she went out and ordered the cabinets. Will be here on the 18th, and they're going to go in, and she wants to have the whole thing ready for our annual Super Bowl party.
Oh, nice. Very good.
Very
now,
nice.
Are the lunch boxes making it into the redesigned kitchen?
Yeah, they are.
All right.
I'll have to tweet you some pictures. Definitely. Once we put it up.
Yeah, for sure. I'll tweet that. We'll have to talk about that when we get back on the air in March. I can't wait.
Bill, do you have one that is just, if you could only have one lunch box up there, the rest of the kitchen's history, which one would you choose?
Oh, it'd probably be either the Jetsons or Hogan's Heroes.
There we go. The Jetsons,
that's
too.
Great.
I love the Jetsons as well. That's a good one.
You still got it, Todd. You still got it.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see. We've got a caller waiting, but I think we're going to have to wait till after the break. It's almost getting time for the next break. Plus, how do you follow that? The lunchboxes. Which lunchbox would you keep? Okay, don't forget now, check out HugginsandScott.com. Previews for the February auction. Bidding begins January 30th, goes through February 9th. There are new things added every day, all kinds of cool stuff up there. You've got sports and non-sports items, all kinds of cards, autographs. Like, here's a 1930s bat-a-ball coin-op baseball game that's for sale. Isn't it amazing through the years how many different sports games have been invented with all different types and all the different ways to play them? And some of them, you know, that they did a long time ago look like they'd be kind of fun anyway. Well, anyway, the number is 312-332-3776. It's our last show till March. But we're taking your questions. We're on till 8, so hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on till 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. We're giving away a 2016 Topps high-tech baseball box and a 2016 Topps Chicago Cubs World Series Champions 25-card box set to one caller. Or if I use an item that you've tweeted me pictures of an item and I use it on the show, you get in the drawing. Vince will pick the winner at the end of the show. And ERC Delivery, if you contact Vince this week, ERC Delivery will deliver free of charge to your door. A couple of items that were tweeted to me a while back, I think this was a couple months ago, Nick had called the show and he had an Illinois politician single signed baseballs collection that I think I had recommended that a few of them I'd like to hit into the lake. and I said, maybe you should add some national politicians. And he did. He sent me a picture. He's got quite the collection going here. He added Newt Gingrich, John Kerry, John Kasich, Sarah Palin, John McCain. So, I mean, there's not going to be a lot of guys that have the collection that Nick has, that's for sure. So, if it's fun doing it, keep doing it. And then A. Ferris on Twitter, I tweeted this, I think, earlier in the week. I retweeted this. This was a neat... It was a Meet the Ball Club dinner thing that he had from May 2nd, 1961, signed by, in addition to others, Lefty Gomez, Red Burnett, who died in 1979, is in the Hockey Hall of Fame media section. And the big one on there was Jackie Robinson, a real nice Jackie Robinson signature. And he thought, well, I think he had wishful thinking. He thought one of the signatures might have been John F. Kennedy because Kennedy was named on it, but it looks like it wasn't JFK. But now here, Bill, with the value, what would the value maybe have been with Jackie Robinson and some of the other bigger names on there? Or if you had just with it like that, or how much more would it have been if JFK actually had signed that also?
Well, I think you're talking, you know, hundreds of dollars for sure with as is, and you could be talking easily into the thousands of dollars if you'd added JFK.
Yeah. Now, the way it is that something you think you'd be interested in giving a shot in an auction?
Oh, sure, absolutely. It looked to be in fairly nice condition as well.
Yeah, it did. It had a neat look to it. The signatures were kind of all over the place, up and down, and whatever, but the signatures looked good, and it was an interesting variety of signatures on it. So that would be a good one to try in a Huggins and Scott auction. Here's Mark's on the road. How are things on the road? Is it slick still?
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Stay off of it for now, but it's going to get just colder and make it even worse, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, take it slow.
Yep. Oh, I'm in a stop now.
Okay, very good. What do you have?
Well, I'm an artist by hobby, and years ago I did a detailed drawing of Walter Payton, white media and black media, in 16 by 20. And one of his last golf outings, charity golf outings, he was on the South Suburbs before he passed away. My daughter worked there, and she was able to get him to sign it while he was actually on the course, which is against the rules, but she was determined to get it done for me. And he signed it. He did just a marvelous job of the way he, you know, took his time and signed it beautifully. But he mentioned to her that he doesn't ever remember drawing an original piece of artwork. So he told her, tell your father he did a great job.
Now we've got to see pictures of that one, Mark.
Right. To me, it's kind of priceless, but I just was curious. I've been listening to your show off and on for a long time, and I figured I'd better call that thing in and just see what that thing would be worth.
So there were no prints made of it. You just did the original, yeah.
It's a 101 Ooh. Original, and it's 16 by 20, and it's in a beautiful frame.
Wow. That sounds beautiful. Hey, Bill, could you give an estimate on that without seeing it?
Well, I mean, I can tell you, Mark, that may be something, honestly, that would sell better in an art auction than in a sports auction, because you're talking one of one in an art thing, as opposed to our auctions are more for, you know, the premier type collectible pieces. But you've got a thing that I think the art part of it is supersedes the sports part.
Yeah, it sounds beautiful.
I never thought of it that way. Yeah.
If you can take pictures of it, you know, if it's hanging sure. in your house or whatever, and email them to me or tweet them to my attention at T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. And if you want me to retweet it, I will. I just would love to see it because it sounds beautiful. And the fact that he seemed to really like it, I mean, that's a great story. I think from your standpoint, that would be a tough one to even sell, even if...
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it was one of those things that always bothered me. I like to know, just curious, but because it's, you know, the story, there's a long story that goes with it, how she got in trouble with the owners and stuff, but he made some good nice comments to her about it, so, because he had actually run onto the hole when he was pulled over in the golf cart to do it, so...
Wow, that's great. Is cool. It sounds like it's something else, and I mean, I think you're at least looking, if it did go in auction, you're probably looking thousands, aren't you, Bill?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the only true way, honestly, Eric, to find out what it would be worth is the day the auction ends, I could call you and tell you, but then unfortunately, it's not yours anymore.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
exactly.
That's right.
Right.
I think that's a keeper, Mark, but wow, what a great story and what a great
idea. I'll get a picture to you. And we can go from there. But I appreciate you guys. You do a great job.
Thanks a lot. We're a very cool item. Pistol Pat's on the line. What's new, Pistol? What do you have? Looks like the sun's coming out. I don't recognize it, but it looks like it's trying to anyway. What's up, Pistol?
Hi, T-Crown Town. Great show, as always. I got a couple items here. I got a quad auto and basketball from 2009-10 SP Upper Deck brand. There's only two out of four that are pretty decent. Derek Rose is on there. Number out of 50, Wester Rustbrook, Mayo, and Beasley. That's the first item. And then the second item, it's a team set from 1982, Edmonton Oilers. There's like four Wayne Gretzky cards, and it's a team set, of course, from that team. And the four Wayne Gretzky cards are the ones that stand out, and it's Red Rooster Food Stores made it, and I guess you had to go to the food store to collect the team set. And I just wonder if any value of those. I appreciate it.
Well, it seems like Russell Westbrook right at the moment is driving the price of that card. He's what an incredible player, the triple-double man. I mean, you're looking at hundreds of that. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but at least hundreds. Now, that Wayne Gretzky card set, Bill, have you seen any of the Red Rooster Gretzky sets? Does that ring a bell?
Yes, we've had those before. They are tough to find. They're not impossible. You didn't get any of those Red Rooster things signed, right? No.
No, not really. There's like four Gretzky cards in with the pack of the team set there, and it's they're pretty. He's a young. Like, of course, he's a young man in a card, and they're pretty cool looking because Wayne Gretzky, you know, his stats are unbelievable. I was just wondering, you know, the four cards of the Gretzky's in there, what the value would hold on that.
I want to say I've seen that set sell for between $100 and $150.
What? Yeah, that's not too bad, actually. And I would think that has some potential, too. There can't be millions of them around, that's for sure. We've got Joe from the Northwest side on the line. What do you have there, Joe?
Good morning, everybody. You know, less than 20 years ago, speaking about the inauguration coming up, Donald Trump was at Wrigley Field with his future wife-to-be, which is now the future first lady, in about another month from now. They were at Wrigley Field to see Sammy Sosa. He was real nice. He come up to the wall. We were talking to him a little bit. And I had him sign a $1 bill, and he signed it right over George Washington, you know. But I think it's just an interesting footnote because the inauguration coming up on the 20th of January. And,
so Donald Trump signed it.
He signed it, right? He signed it with a blue Sharpie I had on me. And
just think, at that time, did you ever think he'd be the future president?
Absolutely. I don't think anybody did.
No.
But he was such a nice guy in person.
That's cool.
And his wife, or I should say his future wife, Melania, she was so nice. She signed the program for me.
Oh, well, that's cool. What do you think of that combo?
Yeah.
Bill, I'm going to cut you off because we're reverbing.
That's okay.
Here.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bill, what do you think of that combo?
Tom, I want to say in our November auction, we had a signed Donald Trump dollar bill. I don't remember exactly what it went for, but I want to say several hundred dollars or more.
Yeah, so that
and
would...
And it probably went up since then, without a doubt.
I would think so. And having Melania, if you had the scorecard signed, I think that would actually add to the value also, don't you think?
Oh, that'd be a great little combo if he decided he wanted to sell.
Yeah, that would
bring it into your store there.
That would be an interesting lot for sure. Who knows? That I've never seen the combo both signed in a lot, that's for sure. All right, we've got, let's see here, Tony from Shanahan is on the line. What do you have there, Tony?
Hi, Tom. First of all, I'd like to thank you for the fast response on the Bears phone helmet.
It's this Tony. Okay, yeah. I just can't picture what that thing's going to look like. So pretty cool, actually.
I have what I believe to be a Stan Musial batting practice broken bat. My grandfather gave it to me way back when I was a little kid. I don't know what year, but it does have the number on the knob of six for him. Like I said, I don't know if you guys could authenticate what model he used, or it's got pine tar on it. The only problem is it's not just broken, it's in two pieces.
My grandfather
told me he got it from the bat boy was carrying back then. It was no big deal, you know. Hey, what do you do with that bat? Nothing.
Bill Huggins, can you fill in the questions on that one? Now, first off, you know, how you would figure if it's really a game used bat, and then the difference in value if a bat is uncracked, cracked, and completely broken in half.
Well, there are ways based on the markings on the bat, the names and the numbers and how the Louisville Slugger logo and the Power Eyes logo, the size of the 125 and everything, all that dates the bat as far as the era that it was produced. I mean, as far as, yes, you're talking three different tiers, you know, an uncracked bat, a bat that's lightly cracked, and then one that has been shattered or split in two and then put back together. Those are sort of the three tiers. And I mean, the full uncracked bats are one number. I mean, a cracked bat is probably two-thirds to a half that, maybe. And then the shattered bats are maybe a quarter of that, depending on what the number is.
Yeah, now what would let's say you had a Stan Musial bat, a game used bat from the 50s. Can you give an estimate? And it's in nice shape, you know, and it's a legitimate game used bat. What roughly might the value of that be?
With nice use and everything and nicely displayable and everything, that's a $3,000 to $5,000 bat or more.
Ooh, boy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's a neat display piece, if nothing else, Tony. You know, you could put it up on display,
right.
And if it really is a Stan Musial bat, I mean, that's very cool. Well, we're coming towards the end. Anybody who's waiting here, we're not going to be able to get to you. Call back to us in March. We'll get back on. Well, we're coming to the end here of our last show until March. So I want to do a little wrap up here. First off, don't forget now. Bidding begins January 30th, ends February 9th for the Huggins and Scott February auction. New items coming up every day. If you go to HugginsAndScott.com, there's sports, non-sports. There's autographed items. Like, here's a lot of 8 NBA Hall of Fame basketballs. Auerbach, Rick Barry, Cousy, DeBuscher, Walt Frazier, Oscar Robertson, 1958 Tops, Jimmy Brown, rookie, SGC 6, a group of 47 Super Bowl programs from 1967 to 2013. Roger Maris signed 1959 Tops card. I mean, just tons of stuff. And new things will be coming up every day at HugginsAndScott.com. I'd like to thank Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott and Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery for sponsoring the show and doing such a great job on the show with me every week. And thanks for getting it all set up again. We'll be back starting the first Sunday in March. So you can check with me. T-Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. Send any photos still. I'll be keeping in touch with everybody through that and putting up pictures of all the different Huggins and Scott items that are cool and links to the auction items. So, Vince, it's time to do the drawing.
This week's winner is Alex from Ukrainian Village. So, Alex, email me, vince@ercdelivery.com. Send me your address. I'll coordinate delivery to your door free of charge.
And ERC Delivery.
Tom, just wanted to say, and I'm sure Vince agrees, it's always fun being Tom Morgan's wingman on this show.
Yep.
Well, absolutely. I'll tell you what, I couldn't ask for two better wingmen, if that's what you want. It's been fun. It really is a blast. I look forward to it every week, and I get a lot of good quotes from the listeners. So we'll keep it going starting in March. Now, hang in there. Up next is Fantasy Football with Jeff Meller and Chris Black. And have a great holiday.